small meatball with sauce and cheese. Grated cheese.
Leone's Sub Shop in the heart of Somerville has been a lunchtime gathering place in the Winter Hill neighborhood for more than 40 years. People come here for the homemade meatball subs, and many of them remember when this neighborhood was ground zero in what was known as the Irish Gang War.
I've been eating those meatballs for 40 years, but I haven't had one in 20. It's so bizarre.
This is Bobby Martini, who grew up in Winter Hill, and who has written a book about the bloody war between Somerville's Winter Hill Gang and a rival gang in Charlestown. The book is called Citizen Somerville, Growing Up with the Winter Hill Gang. As he walks through the old neighborhood, every street, every building prompts a memory.
There was a liquor store here, and in the book you'll see Tommy Leahy talking to Sal Spoligna, saying, Jesus, too bad this place is burning. And Sal goes, yeah, it's supposed to stop burning at 10 o'clock, not 8.
Bobby Martini knew Howie Winter, the notorious leader of the Winter Hill Gang. Martini was just a kid in those years. He avoided the worst of the violence and grew up to be an MDC cop and now works for the Teamsters. But his father worked in Howie Winter's garage and spent time in jail, and his brother-in-law was shot dead in a hail of bullets. Citizen Somerville explains how the war started, an argument over a girl which escalated. Bobby Martini says Charlestown gangsters tried to dynamite the car of a rival gangster, Buddy McLean of Somerville.
And after he finds the dynamite, the war started. And then once you kill one, they go back and forth and you never know.
So tell me what Buddy McLean did after he found the dynamite. And it was dynamite, by the way, that his wife and kids might have gotten into that car.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. And luckily for the neighbors, saw the wires underneath the car. They had planted the night before, and Buddy had shot at them, and he recognized one of the McLaughlins. So McLaughlin would always come out of the same place at noon to collect his money in Charlestown, and they knew that. And he just went over and killed him. F. Lee Bailey got him off.
Yeah, and this was a shooting in broad daylight, lots of witnesses, but no one came forward, right?
No, that's the way it was back then. No one ever talked. You know, someone would come up to us right now, if it was the 60s, and shoot us, no one, and there would be 10 witnesses, and no one would ever say nothing. Today, everyone would say everything.
So let me ask a question about the women you write about in this story. What's their story about?
It's what they went through. You know, my mother.
What did she go through? What were the sort of high points, the low points, the challenges of keeping a family together in a neighborhood like this?
Well, she did a good job keeping us together. You know, my father, during his tenure up at Marshall Motors, was sent to jail for a year and a half. It was hard on her, but we didn't know that. We're just kids. We don't know that. I know it now. If I know what I knew now then, I would have taken a lot better care of her. You know what I mean? And the family and everything else. We didn't know any better. But my sister Patty, she's in the book, and Brian Halloran got shot 22 times by Whitey Bulger in town. And then the FBI threw her out of her safe house. They had him in a safe house.
Threw who out of the safe house?
My sister Patty and her two kids, they were only babies then. So she's going through a life of terror. And plus, he used to abuse her a little, but he wouldn't tell us. She wouldn't tell us in fear that we'd go after him and in fear he would kill us. Ellen Brogner, Howie Winter's wife. She went through all that time, and, you know, he was in jail in 78 to 83. She'd go up to Leavenworth, see him all the time, always visit him, always stayed right by him. She always stayed right by him. She's one of the strongest women in the book also, you know. But
a tough world for the women in this town, for sure.
You know, your mother's never told your father's business, ever. So none of us knew till we're 30 or 40 years old about these gang wars. You know, and then that's another reason I decided to write, to show, you know, everyone what the families went through. The mothers at home, they're wondering, is the father coming home during those gang wars? You know, and it's such a pivotal point in the book of the torment they must have been going through, wondering if the husband's coming home at night, and where they're going to feed the kids. Who's going to give them the money?
Well, I guess one of the answers to that question was Howie Winter did what he could do for these families.
Oh, it? Without a doubt. Yeah, when my father went away, every week I get money, you know, through him or around him. I don't know where it came from, you know. But I know he was a big factor in helping out my family when my father was away. My father wanted a swing set brought up to the Lawrence Jail. Howie goes, go rent the truck. I go, I can't drive a truck. He goes, you'll learn. Have me rent the truck. Go pick up the swing set. We brought the Lawrence jail. All the kids now had swings because of Howie and my father at the Lawrence outdoor jail on 495. I backed into a few walls, but I got the truck there, and I got it back. That's a true story.
In the book, you tell a story. This is a story that sort of gets at sort of who Howie Winter was. You describe him walking down the street. It might have even been this street.
It is the street.
Where he sees a kid with no shoes or really bad shoes on his feet, full of holes.
Yep.
What did he do?
Howie always took care of the neighborhood here. You didn't even have to lock your doors. Because if someone broke into your house, the person that broke in would have to deal with Howie, Buddy Sal, or Joe McDonald. But he walked up the street, and he grabs the kid, and Bronca Shoes was right across the street. Took him over there, got him a pair of shoes, and brought him back. And it wasn't the first time. You know, the Leahys, they're in the book, and they lost their father right down the end of the street here. Not in a gang war, but in a car accident. And Howie went right there and was always overseeing that family.
But when you were growing up, what did you know about what was really going on? I mean, these people took care of you, they protected you, there was this close-knit neighborhood. What did you really know about what was going on?
They were just friends of my father. You know, in 69, I went in the Marine Corps. I forged my birth certificate, and I was 16. Howie rented me a car for the week. They had a party on the Baltimore Post with 200 people for me to go to the Marine Corps at 16. I mean, that's unheard of. And to this day, I go, why didn't they stop me? You know, why? What did I do so wrong that all of a sudden they sent the 16-year-old kid? I mean, and I looked like I was 10. I didn't look 16.
And why didn't they stop you?
It was the way of life then. I mean, I was having beefs at home. My father, you know, he was a strict enforcer. I took my worst beating right here in the garage when I skipped school one day.
Do you think in a way they were trying to protect you from the kind of life in the street here and getting involved with the criminal activity that was going on all around?
Without a doubt. They could see the writing on the wall. I had fist fights in school. And, you know, the best thing for me probably was the Marine Corps. And I, to this day, I think it was. You know, I come out a different man, and it worked for a while. But then I went back out in the streets for a little while, you know.
But were you ever sucked into the game? Were you ever involved in the sort of gang activity that was going on here? I don't mean the street brawling. I mean the criminal activity.
Well, Brian Halloran, I came close a couple of times, you know, to do different things with Brian when he was married to my sister. Only for the grace of God did I not do him. One time I was drunk and I never made it where I was supposed to be, and two other friends got grabbed with Brian.
So tell me more about Howie Winter. By 1975, right, Winter Hill Gang, second largest criminal organization in Massachusetts, pretty much.
Yep.
He's doing business with the Patriarca clan down in Providence.
Yep.
So he's a big-time big-time moneymaker.
Yeah.
Gangster?
I guess you could call him. I guess so. I don't know. You know, that's what they say about him in the papers and stuff, you know.
What do you think?
I don't know. He's just my friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know him as that. We just knew him whenever you needed a hand. You went and saw Howie or Sal or somebody, you know, and that was it. But in the papers, they say he was a gangster and probably was.
So Howie Winter goes to jail. The Winter Hill Gang.
1978.
The Winter Hill Gang is pretty much ended there. But who survives? Whitey Bulger?
Whitey Bulger's at this.
And 16 years later, we learn that they were working with the FBI.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what goes around comes around sometimes. You know, look at Connolly's. He's suffering badly down those Florida jails. You know?
This is the FBI agent
who
basically worked with Whitey Bulger.
Yeah, and he got convicted.
There's something I want to ask you, though. On page 39, you're writing about men who worked regular jobs. I suppose I could write more about the men whose only involvement was reading the daily headline.
Yeah.
Men who worked regular jobs and never walked that fine line between crime and compromise. There are many of them, but I don't know them very well. Talk about that. So this idea of walking the fine line between crime and compromise.
I walked that line my whole life. When I was younger, I was doing the bookmaking because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, lending money and stuff like that. But I never crossed that line to, like, hurting people. You know what I mean? I never thought anyone should be hurt for money.
Bobby Martini, along with Elaine Karatsis, are the authors of Citizen Somerville, Growing Up with a Winter Hill Gang. You can read an excerpt from the book on our website, radioboston.org. And Bobby Martini will be reading from his book and signing copies March 12th at the Somerville Library.
Coming up tomorrow on Radio Boston, the two candidates hoping to fill Chuck Turner's seat on the Boston City Council join us and take your calls.
Also, we hit the farmer's market and hunt for the perfect homegrown winter meal. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.